don't know the established basics of Christianity and living for God, then you're going to have trouble getting back to those because you don't know what those are. But the cool thing about us talking about getting back to them is you're going to learn about them while we talk about getting back to them. So that's cool. We can do two or three things at the same time there. How many of you like to multitask? I like to multitask. I can be sitting on my chair with the TV on, my MacBook Pro in my lap, my iPad over here, and my iPhone over here, and I could be using all of them and have a book on the side. It's crazy. Kari thinks I'm crazy. She's probably right. But I enjoy multitasking, channel surfing, and all that kind of stuff. I like doing that. I thought the greatest invention ever was PIP, you know, picture in picture, so you could watch two things at the same time on TV. That's probably the greatest invention ever since sliced bread. I don't know. I'm just kind of weird that way. But we're going to multitask this year. Not only are we going back to basics, but we're going to expand and get more effective and more efficient as we do that. And I think that you can understand and grasp that whole concept. It's a well-known fact that in order to excel or improve, you have to do the basics extraordinarily well. That's a proven fact. You have to do the basics extraordinarily well. There's a few coaches in the building. You coaches know that to get a team or a person to performing at a high level, you have to make sure that they have their foundational basics well learned, and there's many times you have to bring them back to the basics to get them to excel to a next level. And I think that maybe there's a basic area here you're not quite in tune with. Let's work on that. And we get that fixed, and all of a sudden your performance goes to a whole nother level. And so you know that in the athletic world. How about in marriage? Anybody realize that in marriage? Sometimes we can get mission drift in our marriage, you know. We can get busy taking each other for granted. The kids thing going on, the career thing going on, the in-law, outlaw thing going on, the parent and grandparent not being well stuff going on, and all of a sudden your marriage is struggling. But if you got to say, wait a minute, let's get back to the basics. I love this woman. She is the love of my life, and I'm going to get back to talking nice to her. How many of you know that's a basic? I'm going to start talking nice to her again. Quit snapping at her. Quit growling at her. I'm going to get back to that basic. I'm going to buy her a gift. I'm going to do something nice for her. Those were the basics when you dated her and tricked her into marrying you, right? You got to get back to that. Buy her chocolate. Maybe she likes sugar-free chocolate now. I don't know. Maybe she's a purist. She wants the dark stuff, you know. Give me that. But you have to just kind of get back to the basics sometimes in your marriage. How about in parenting sometimes? You just have to get back to the basics. You get all this fear going on. You get all this other stuff going on. Finances. Anybody financially getting ready to get back to the basics? You know, it's like, oh, wow, Christmas killed us, so we're going to get back to the basics. We're going to just take care of food, shelter, and clothing, and we're going to pay off debt, and we're going to get a savings account going. You know, we're going to start doing the basics of finances. We're going to try to earn more than we spend. There's a novel idea. Learned that from the United States government. No, I didn't learn it. I did not learn it from there. But so we know getting back to the basics is a key to success. It's a key to excelling. It's a key to doing better. Many times when we stall or decline, it's because we've forgotten about the basics. When you want to go to a whole nother level, you got to go back and debate. We're having some football games today. There's some football teams that need some help, you know, and it's a little too late on the last game of the season to think about getting back to the basics. But I guarantee you in spring training, they're going back to the basics. They're going to say, we got to find linebackers, and we got to learn how to tackle. How about it? Let's just tackle somebody next year, you know? That's just, and in all of the world, it's getting back to the basics. In the church world and in your spiritual life, it's really important for you and I to understand the basics and get back to those things and make sure we're doing them well and sometimes doing them even better. How's your prayer life? That's a basic. How is your prayer life doing? That's a basic. How about your giving? How's that going? How about your serving? How's that going? You know, I know it goes quiet in the church. Let's not talk about that. But so those are some basic things, aren't they? Yeah, we'll be talking about those in the next few weeks. And we can take off the lid of limitation when we do the basics extraordinarily well. Mission statements and value statements are designed to keep you centered and focused and make sure you keep the main thing the main thing. So in our church, we have mission statements, we have value statements. I'll talk about some of that later today in the message, and we'll probably break that out in the next few weeks and show you that. And if you went to the My Church class, you've seen it, but you've probably forgotten it, so we'll talk about it again, you know, But it's those things that keep you centered, keep you on the path, and keeping the main thing the main thing. Let's turn to Habakkuk. You guys even know where that is? I can't even hardly say that word. It is a book of the Bible. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We'll throw it on the screen for you so you can see it there in case you can't find it in your Bible. I will stand my watch. I will set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. This is an amazing verse right here. Habakkuk has said, God, I don't understand what's going on, and I don't think you're doing so hot, and I don't think that this is the way things are supposed to be. So he's praying, complaining. A lot of times your prayer life is your complaining life to God. It doesn't have to be, but that's the way it works out for some folks. It's their complaining life to God, their laundry list of what they want God to do. And Habakkuk was doing that, and he said, now that I said that, I'm going to wait, I'm going to get on my watch, I'm going to get myself on this rampart, like the wall of the city, to watch and see what's going to happen. And he said, I'm going to see what God will say to me and what he will answer me when I am corrected. Boy, I like that whole concept there, that God, I'm expecting you to correct me. I'm expecting you to correct my thoughts. I'm expecting you to correct my direction. I'm expecting you to correct my philosophy of why this is and why it isn't and what should be and what shouldn't be. We need adjustments in our life. If we're not careful, we become these independent people that don't let anybody correct us, don't let anybody challenge us and our thought and our idea and our attitude. Guys, you know we talked about attitude recently, like 6 weeks talking about attitude. If you missed that, you can get the CDs, go online and listen to it. But we need somebody to correct us, somebody. Even when you go to school, somebody has to correct your papers. Somebody has to check your answers and make sure you're doing what's right and making sure you understand those basic things. And who better than God, right? I mean, I don't like it when Kari corrects me, but God can correct me. The problem is God tends to use Kari. That's a bummer for me. It's like, could you just give me a dream or a vision or write it on the wall or something. You know, he's done all of that too. But who does God use to correct us? It's usually somebody close to us, somebody in authority in our life, somebody who loves us and cares enough about us to speak honestly to us. So verse 2, he says, and then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And that says, I want to give you answers, and then I want you to write those answers down where people can grab them and run with them. I want you to get them clear. I want you to get them in in brief, concise statements so they can grab it and run with it. Nobody's ever grabbed and run with a thesis. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever grabbed and run, you know, with a 480-chapter novel. Nobody's ever grabbed and run with that. You can't even carry that. Thank God for Kindle, right? So when God says you need to make it plain and write it down so that people can run with it, he's saying you need to clarify these important things in life, these basic things in life, these vision, mission things in life. You need to make them so clear that you can say them in a phrase. You can write them. And there's kind of even the whole concept of you can put it on a sign on a Highway 12 where people are driving by at 55 miles an hour and they can read it on their way by. That big, that plain, that concise, that understandable. The basics should be that clear. And you know, sometimes we hang out in church and we're going, I'm confused. I don't get this whole church thing. What does God want? Who is this guy? And what are you singing that? What are you singing about? And what's that preacher talking about? You know, I kind of like y'all, but your potlucks are cool. But I'm not sure what else is really happening here. I get that. We can be so confusing in the church world. We can be. But we really want to talk about basics and clarify that. We want at the Life Center to make it so plain and so clear that we can put it in a phrase, we can put it on a sign, and people driving 55 miles an hour can drive by and read something like loving God passionately and loving others purposefully. Maybe that. Maybe they could drive by and see something that said making life better. What? Now that's... So God makes life better? Yeah. He doesn't complicate it? No. He simplifies life. Church complicates it. Religion complicates things. But God really simplifies things. He really does. And so maybe we could just put a phrase out there that said, come as you are. And people could drive. Have you guys noticed any of those phrases out there on the highway? 55 million people reading those? Maybe just something like, come as you are. And you would know that if you're dressed in buckskin, wearing a rag on your head and bones around your neck, you could just come on in as you are. Maybe something like that. Maybe if you're all messed up, you're super emotional, you are just out there and you're needing help desperately, you could just come as you are. Maybe you got it all together and you want to come bless us with your knowledge. You could just come as you are. Hey, we'll take anybody, right? Look around you. We'll take anybody. All right. So seeking God is simple, but it's not always easy. So God, what are the basics? What do you want me to do? In this 21 days of prayer and fasting, we really want to recalibrate our life and simply say, God, what do you want me to do? What's your emphasis for my life right now? What do you want me to do? You can't, it's simple, but it's not always easy. Fasting really can help us. It's just not always easy. We'll talk about fasting in just a minute. But James chapter 4 and verse 2 says, you lust and do not have. The Black Friday's over, but let's talk right there, you know. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Now, most of us don't go all the way to murder to get something. But we've stretched a few things trying to get stuff occasionally. You fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. See, I told you God simplifies things. We want to covet and fight and lust and grab and scratch and scheme and plan. And we want to do all of that to get the stuff. And God says, but you don't have it because you're not asking for it. How much simpler could that be, huh? You have not because you ask not. Jesus, several times in the New Testament, talked to his disciples and said, up to this point, you haven't asked much. Now ask in my name that your joy might be full. He said that to him two or three times in the Gospels there. So God is just saying, if you'll ask me, I'll answer you. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, what's going to happen? The door's going to be opened for you. And God said it is that simple. I know people that say, but Kelly, I've asked, I've seeked, I've knocked, and God's not saying anything. Sometimes it's God's not saying what you want to hear. So you're going, I don't hear you. Right? I've met a lot of people that they say, well, God's not saying anything, when in fact he is. He's just not saying what they want to hear. But I'd encourage you to listen to what God says, even if it's not what you want to hear, and adjust your life to what he corrects you concerning. Adjust to his correction. And you will get what you really wanted. Life will be better than you trying to do it on your own. You will find peace that you could never find any other way. You will find a simple, satisfying life that will lead to eternal life. If you'll just do that, just say yes to God. Around here, it's just like keep giving God your yes. Just keep saying yes to God. So that simplifies it. Ask, and you're going to receive. You don't have because you're not asking. 21 days of prayer and fasting is taking God at his word and saying, God, we're going to ask. And we know that you're going to help us receive. And we're going to be serious about asking. You ever met a 3-year-old that was serious about asking? They were serious about asking. I'm hungry. Can I have that? Can I have that? Hey, I'm hungry. Can I have that? I'm hungry. Can I have that? Like, they're not going to shut up until you give that to them. Jesus had a little parable about that one time, didn't he? Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep doing that. So, I don't know if this is in your notes, but I'm just going to read a little bit in my notes about asking. How do we ask? We pray. We verbalize the request. We quiet our heart and mind. And we spend some time asking, seeking, listening, and receiving. Sometimes we do those 55-mile-an-hour prayers. God, I'm just going to throw a prayer to you on the way by. I hope you catch this. But it's more effective to slow down and settle yourself, calm the stuff around you, and seek God. Verbalize your request. Sometimes in your busyness, you don't even know what to ask for. You just want relief. But you don't know what to ask for. And if you'll calm down and just settle your spirit, you'll begin to sense what you need. The Holy Spirit will reveal that. And then you pray according to God's will, and he does that for you. So verbalize your request. I highly recommend you pray out loud. Yes, God can hear silent prayers. But when you pray out loud, you get to hear it. And there's something special about declarations, about things that come out of your mouth, and about you hearing them, and them totally encircling your life. I highly recommend that you do some of your praying verbalized out loud. Prayer can go from conversation to intercessory prayer. Let's talk a little bit about different kinds of prayer. Conversational prayer, I highly recommend you just talk to God, like maybe not like you would talk to anybody else, but like you would talk to a friend, right? Just talk to God conversationally. And that's prayer. But prayer can go from conversation into what we call, what the Bible calls intercession. And now you're not just conversing with God, now all of a sudden there's an urgency inside of you. There's a passion that's birthed inside of you, and you begin to pray differently than you are just having a conversation. Have you ever had passionate conversations with somebody? Yeah, you all have. You know, you get that feeling in, you get that emotion involved in that conversation. You don't talk to everybody just quietly and mildly, right? And in your prayer life, it shouldn't just always be quiet and mild. You should have some passion inside of you. You should have some emotion inside of you. You should have some tears. You should have some shouts. You should have some joy. You should have some urgency. That's intercession. So I make sure you shift sometimes from just conversational to intercessory prayer. And it can go on past that. Some of you might have heard of travail. I heard we had a little bit of that in a life group recently. And travail is a whole nother level of intercession, right? How many of you have participated in travail? You've experienced that. I'm not talking about just giving birth to a baby. I'm talking about in your prayer life. But it's really similar. It's a prayer that is consuming, urgent, like birthing something. It's that big, passionate experience that God taps you on the shoulder and says, will you birth something for me in your prayer time? Will you do that? Will you feel what I'm feeling, and can I use you to express this? And that doesn't happen for everybody. There was, 10, 12 people that raised their hand when I asked that question. But it can go to all sorts of different degrees. So don't think prayer is this one-dimensional thing. Prayer can really expand into lots of different things. So let's talk about receiving for a minute. What does receiving look like? Receiving can go from, we're talking about getting back to the basics, right? Prayer and receiving. Receiving can go from a simple thought or statement that's downloaded into your heart. You're praying, you're asking, all of a sudden, there's a statement, a word that appears in your heart, appears in your thoughts. You know it's not yours. You know that you didn't conjure it up, but God deposited it or downloaded it into your heart or into your life. And that's receiving. That's receiving. If you pray and you don't receive, that's not what God wants. God wants you to receive. Prayer, just throw it out there, but never receiving anything, that's not what God's looking for. God wants you to receive answers. He wants you to receive direction. He wants you to receive encouragement. He wants you to receive next steps that he wants you to take. He wants you to do that. And so you should be expecting to receive. Sometimes it could be a conversation downloaded into your heart from God. You could just feel like God has just given you a conversation about that, and all of a sudden you know something you didn't know, you understand something you didn't understand, you have direction on something you didn't have direction on previously, and God's downloaded that into your heart and deposited that into your life. Now that's the basic, level one of receiving in your prayer time. That can go to all sorts of degrees too. You can have visions, you can have revelation, you can have out-of-body experiences. Paul says, whether in the body or out of the body, I'm not sure, but I experienced something amazing in my prayer time, and God showed me this. And the same things that God used in the Bible to speak to people is the same way he speaks to us today. He still uses those same things. So expect visions and dreams and revelations, and it can go beyond that also. Most time receiving is in the form of wise counsel and instruction. Most of the time it's just the word of wisdom comes from God to you. It could just be deposited in your heart, like I said. Sometimes God will use Kari for that. God doesn't only use Kari to correct me, but he uses Kari to encourage me and give me words of wisdom. Not every word she says is holy. In case she listens to this CD later. But I highly value the fact that God made her and I one, and we complete each other, and God uses her in my life, and hopefully he uses me in her life. I highly value that. And I hope your marriages can grow into that if it's not that way also. So most of the time you receive wise counsel and instruction, but it can go beyond that too. Let's talk about fasting. Fasting adds an entirely different element to your seeking. Fasting says, God, I'm serious about this. Fasting says, I'm telling my flesh no, so that my spirit gets full reign in my life. My flesh will not control me, and I am going to put it through a time of fasting to tell it no. You will not direct my thoughts. You will not direct my emotions. You will not direct my choices. I will not live according to the flesh, according to my feelings, according to the carnal man, according to this human heart. I won't live that way. I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to obey God. And so fasting tells your flesh no, puts it in its place, but it also quiets all these other voices that are clamoring for your attention and allows you to focus in on the voice of God. The cool thing about fasting is it allows you to tune in. Anybody ever tune into a radio station? It allows you to tune in to the voice of God. That's cool. A lot of people say, if I could just hear God. Fasting and prayer is an amazing way for you and I to hear God. It just tunes in. It just tunes in. So when we add fasting to our prayers, it helps us cut out the noise, focus on God's voice and his desires. It cuts out our fleshly desires and our carnal voices. How many of you know that your flesh, your body, does not like to be told no? It's like, right now, my flesh wants to be done with church. I'm tired of sitting here. But the cool thing is you don't have to let your flesh control your life. You can say, hey, flesh, I fed you this morning. I'm going to feed you again later today, but I'm feeding my spirit right now, so shut up. You can talk to your flesh that way. You should tell your flesh no. I know people lock you up for talking to yourself, but you should talk to yourself. You should. Say, Pastor told me I could. Don't lock me up. But it's a powerful thing to tell your body and your flesh no, so you can tell your spirit and God's spirit yes. It's a powerful thing. Our flesh doesn't like it, but that doesn't matter. This phrase, you've heard it if you've been around a while. Remember, you're not a human being having a temporary spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a temporary human experience. Do not allow your human side to rule your life. You are not a human being having a temporary spiritual experience at the Life Center. You are a spiritual being having a temporary human experience on planet Earth. So make sure you give your spirit highest priority and give spiritual things highest priority. Your body will die. If you're over 35, it's already dying. Can you feel it? I can feel it. You young folks are going, what's he talking about? You'll feel it if you live long enough. You'll feel it. But your spirit gets to live forever. Why would you allow this 80-year-old earth suit to control your life? Why would you allow that? Why don't you let your spirit rule your life? And fasting is a great tool to tell your earth suit no, so your spirit can soar. It's a great tool. Highly encourage fasting. You will love it. You will love it. You won't. Your flesh won't love it, but your spirit will love it. Some of you are already going, two more days, more coffee, more donuts. I got to get ready for fasting. I'm working out for fasting. That's the bad way to get ready for fasting. You should start reducing whatever you're going to fast. Starting January 1, you start reducing that today. So you can, anyway. So what are the basics? I should break out the basics. There's one God. Here's the basics. There is one God. He is creator and Lord of all. That's a basic. It is not multiple gods, multiple religions, multiple ways to heaven, nirvana, whatever, whatever, enlightenment, whatever. It is not that. You don't get your own planet. You don't get to be producing children forever on your own planet. Nope, there's one God. One God, and you're not him. Kari has a t-shirt that says, "There is a God, and you're not him." I'm sure if she bought that for me. Or what? I never thought about that till just now. God lovingly created us, and he sent his son Jesus to save us. These are the basics. You were not evolved from a monkey, polywog, amoeba, big bang, primordial ooze. Didn't happen. God lovingly created you. Lovingly created you with purpose and destiny. That's the basic. That's a basic. We must learn about God, we must follow God, and we must obey God. I think that's a basic that we got to really anchor in on. If there's only one God, and if he's creator and Lord of all, and if he lovingly created me and sent his son Jesus to save me, I better learn about him, right? I better learn about him. You have to learn how to drive a car. You have to learn how to run your computer. You have to learn. I mean, if you're going to go into certain fields of expertise and profession, you have to learn and go to school and pass the test. And doesn't it just make sense that we would really seek to learn about our God? And you're not going to do it in an hour on Sunday morning. You're not going to learn about God only that way. We'll do our best. We'll pour as much into you as we can. But you got to dig at home. You got to get to some life groups. You got to come to Sunday school classes. You should have this thirst. You should buy all those books back there on the bookstore and read them. You should have this thirst. You should be listening to podcasts and CD series, and you should have this thirst to learn about God. You should have that thirst and that hunger. Learn about him, follow him, and obey him. Jesus looked at the crowd one day and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say?" And our answer is that typical kid answer, "I don't know." A lot of times we don't know. It doesn't make sense, does it? Why do we call him Lord, God, Creator, but we refuse to follow him? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. You don't just follow him because you're going to hell if you don't. You follow him because he's God, he's Creator, he's Lord. And you follow him. Hell, I don't even think about hell. Hell is not even in my vocabulary. Occasionally it is, but it's not even in my scope. I don't think about hell. I'm not worried about hell. I don't do anything because I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell. I don't quit doing anything because I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell. I don't. I'm way beyond that. Way beyond that. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Creator. He has this plan for me. It's going to be wild. It's going to be amazing, and I'm going to follow him. That's why. To me, it makes perfect sense. But I'm a little weird, I know. We have a mission, and we have a great commission. So what I love about God, too, is he just didn't save you and said, "Now you're saved, just forget about it till you die." No, he says, you're on my team now. I chose you. So we're going to go do stuff. Come on, you and me, let's go do stuff. We have a mission. We're on a great co-mission. All of us together have this co-mission. We're all together trying to win the people in our generation to Jesus Christ. We're trying to get them all to have eternal life. We're trying to get them all happier. We're trying to get them all free from sin. We're trying to get them all delivered from the enemy's lies and darkness. We're on this great mission together. It's not just me. It's not just some other folks. It's you too, all of us. So God says, come on, come with me, let's go. We're on mission together. And I love that. That's one of the basics. If you believe in God, God has this mission, and he chooses you. And you have to say, yes, God, I'm going to follow you on this mission. I'm going to use my time, my talents, and my treasures for you and your purposes. And if we're not careful, we just hunt and fish and don't do anything for the Lord. We just chase our career and our family, don't do anything for the Lord. If we're not careful, we live in this earth suit like we're a human being having a temporary spiritual experience. But we're not that. We're a spiritual being having a temporary human experience. And in this temporary human time, God says, will you follow me? Will you be a part of my team? Let's go do something and change your world. And I said yes to that. I hope you say yes to that. But that's a base to me. That's a basic. It really is a basic. God has mission and commission for us. He wants us to participate in. This will not create a small life. Oh, if I serve God, I'm going to have this puny, little, drab, ugly life. No way. If you serve God with all your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength, which, by the way, is the first commandment, if you'll do that, you'll have an abundant life. You'll have a large life. You'll have an amazing life. You'll never regret giving God your life. You'll never regret saying yes to God. You'll never regret doing anything and everything he wants you to do. You won't regret that. I promise you, you will not regret that. What's the basics for the Life Center? Let's talk about this church for just a minute. I've already said a couple of them, loving God passionately, loving others purposefully. That's a basic for us. We think that's the great commandment. The first commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Remember they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And that's what he said. Love God. Love God. Don't just believe in him and punch your ticket to heaven. Love him with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. And the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we put it on a 55-mile-an-hour sign and phrase that just says, loving God passionately, loving others purposefully. That's a basic. And every once in a while, I got to look at my life and say, am I loving God passionately? No, I'm a little discouraged. I'm a little depressed. I'm mad at people, and that causes me to withdraw from God. And so am I loving God passionately right now? No. So Kelly, knock it off and get back to loving God passionately. See, that calibrates my life again. Am I loving people purposefully? I got some things I would like to purposefully do to them. But loving them, purposefully, on purpose, intentionally, yeah, that recalibrates our life. Here's another phrase around here, being a friend to the destiny of others. If we all have a mission, if we all have a destiny, if we've all been tapped on the shoulder by God and asked to do something, then I want to be a friend to that for other people. For you, I want to be a friend to your destiny. I want to be a friend to your family. I want to be a friend to your mission in life. I want to be a friend to help you use your gifts and talents to accomplish the purposes of God. I want to be a friend to that. And I want this church to be a friend to the destiny that you have, but I want the Life Center to be a friend to the destiny of the people that live up there and over there and over there and over there. They don't have to come to this church for us to be a friend to their destiny. They don't even have to be saved for me to be a friend to their destiny. In fact, if they're not saved, I should have a greater passion to be a friend to their destiny of getting eternal life than if they are saved. People don't have to qualify for me to be a friend to their destiny. I want to be a friend to their destiny. And this church has that as a mission. Being a church that reaches people that other churches aren't reaching. I really don't have any passion to play musical chairs with other churches. Not interested in that. There's a lot of great churches around us, and they have their mission, and they're reaching the people that they're reaching, and they're supposed to be doing things different than what we're doing. That's fine. I'm totally cool with that. Our mission from God, and God spoke this clearly to me as a pastor, he said, I want you to build a church that reaches people that other churches aren't reaching. So, man, we break that down. What does that look like? I don't have time to talk about that this morning, but we're pretty strategic in that. And that's a basic that we're getting back to. We're going to be talking a lot more about that this year. Being a light and a resource in our community and region that positively affects everything around us. So that's one of the things. Be a light and a resource to everybody and everything in our region. What do you want to do? I don't want to do much. I just want to do it all. That's it. That's all. See, I don't have to do it all, but I want to support it all. I want to embrace it all. I want to be a friend to the destiny of it all. I want the Chamber of Commerce to succeed. I want businesses all around us to succeed. I'm always asking business owners, how's your business? How are things going? I'm always asking that question. They're probably wondering, what's he asking me that for? Because I pray for businesses all the time. And I want to see them prosper. And I believe that God's going to help us create an area here of favor and blessing that businesses can prosper in, as well as individuals, as well as all the churches and the pastors and all people everywhere. That's what I want to do, be a light and a resource to all people. That's a value around here. Be involved. That's one of our values. People think I'm too involved in too many things, but my value is to be involved. I love to be involved. If I gave you a list of what I'm involved in, you would probably say I'm involved in too many things. But I guarantee you in 2014, I'm going to be involved in more things because my mission is be involved. And people say, limit yourself, quit that, you can't. Well, you just hide in the bushes and watch. And I'm going to stay engaged, and I'm going to stay involved, and we're going to see what God does. Next theme, limitless, in the next sermon series. You'll be hearing some more about that. Be generous. Now, right now, your flesh is going, come on, Pastor. I know. But you're not a human being having a temporary spiritual experience. I'll be done in just a few minutes. Tell your flesh, give him a few more minutes. Just tell your flesh that. Being generous is one of our values. We love to be generous financially, relationally, in any way we can. We love to be generous. We know that giving doesn't create a lack. It creates an abundance. That's one of our phrases around here. If I'm generous, it doesn't mean that I have less. It means that God supplies more so I can be generous more. And we believe that, and we practice that, and we experience that. Be a church of irresistible influence. We have one of these books back there. Wow. When Larry read this book, he says, Kelly, I get it. That's what the Life Center is supposed to be. We're supposed to be a church of irresistible influence. And I'll be breaking some stuff out in this book. There'll be a big race. There's one back there. But you can get one on Amazon used for probably $4, right, John? Yeah. John was talking to us about Amazon used books in Sunday school. You can learn a lot around here. If you order Prime, you can what? Get it in 2 days, whatever. Free shipping. Yeah. Be a church that takes the Great Commission seriously and makes it our number one priority. The Great Commission is what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And to every creature, every person, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And some of it says, go ahead, cast out demons. Go ahead, lay hands and heal the sick. Go ahead and just powerfully impact your world. But get out there and do it. Save people. We believe in that, and that's our number one priority. So let me conclude. Let's get back to the basics. Let's get great at the basics. Let's make sure we don't allow mission drift to create ineffectiveness in our life and in our church. You can get lazy. You can have mission drift. You can get distracted. You can just, there can be other forces in life pull you away. And that's where you just get back to the basics so that you can succeed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your word this morning. We love you. We love your word. And God, like Habakkuk, we want to speak to you and then wait. What are you going to say to correct us? What are you going to say to get us back on track, to get us back on course? And when you say that, we're going to write it down plainly and we're going to run with it. And Lord, I just thank you that you're doing that in this first 21 days of the year and beyond. You're going to do that. We just, God, give you permission to correct us. We give you permission to correct our attitudes, our philosophies, the limits that we put on you and other things in life. We give you permission to correct that. We give you permission, God, to speak to us about our relationships, to speak to us about unforgiveness, to speak to us about letting go of certain things and grabbing other things, God. We give you permission to lead us to make decisions that we're afraid to make, but we need to make them because they're your will. God, we give you permission in these 21 days. We're going to seek, we're going to ask, we're going to knock, and you're going to talk to us, and we're going to obey you. And Lord, I thank you for that. I'm excited about 2014, God. We pray it's a breakout year for each one of us and for the Life Center. Amen. Hey, the ushers are going to come. We're going to receive the offering. Your connect card.